Model Test 4.
Section A. Directions. In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, 1 or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center. Now, let's begin with the 8 short conversations.
Question 11. Hi, Tom. Have you been playing much basketball lately?
I play as often as I can get out of the classroom. And the game is my way to be somebody. It's my life, you know?
What does Tom tell the woman? Question 12. Bob, can I come to see you at your home tomorrow evening?
Sure. Susan and I have half decided to go swimming late tomorrow afternoon, so give me a ring before you come, okay?
What can we learn from the conversation? Question 13. We have to face the fact that it is a little hard to get fuel for the car.
Between you and me, I think there is always a way to get around this problem.
What does the man mean?
Question 14. The bag is $18 now.
Yes, it's exactly half more than it was 2 months ago.
What was the price of the bag 2 months ago?
Question 15.
What happened to you? I thought you were going skiing with us.
I backed out last week because it is too close to my final exams.
What can we learn from the
conversation?
Question 16. You can go to the film tonight and I will babysit for you.
That would be very kind of you to do so.
What is the woman going to do? Question 17.
My grandmother says the most important thing one should have is a sense of humor.
I can't agree with her more. Laughter is the best medicine during tough times.
What is the man's attitude toward the woman's words?
Question 18. Have you finished the research paper on psychology?
Not yet. I never write it until the last minute.
What did the man mean?
Now you'll hear the 2 long conversations.
Conversation 1. I really have no idea what to do during this summer holiday. I can't bear to just sit around, and there seems to be no jobs available.
Why don't you try house-sitting? Last summer, my friend Tom house-sat for the Alexanders when they went away on vacation. Mr. Alexander hired Tom to stay in their house because he didn't want it left empty.
You mean the Alexanders paid Tom just to live in their house?
It certainly wasn't that easy. He had to mow the lawn and water the houseplants and also feed the pets. And when Boris house-sat for Mr. Alexander, he had to help him with his farm.
I heard about babysitting, and house-sitting sounds just like that, except you're taking care of a house instead of children. It may be a suitable job for me.
The Student Employment Office still has a few jobs posted.
Do I just have to fill out an application form?
Yes, and Tom and Boris had to interview with the homeowners and provide 3 references each.
That seems like a lot of trouble for a summer job.
Well, the homeowners want some guarantee that they can trust the house-sitter. You know, they want to make sure you're not the type who'll throw wild parties in their house or move a group of friends in with you.
House-sitters who do that sort of thing probably aren't paid, then.
Usually they're paid anyway just because the homeowners don't want to make a fuss. But if the homeowner reported it, then the house-sitter wouldn't be able to get another job. So why don't you give it a try?
Yeah, I think I will.
Questions 19 to 22 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 19. What does the man want to do this summer?
Question 20. What did the Alexanders do when they went away on holiday last summer?
Question 21. Which responsibility the house-sitter probably wouldn't have?
Question 22. How do homeowners determine the reliability of a house-sitter? Conversation 2.
You've got to try these sausages, Stephanie. They're delicious.
I'd love to eat a sausage, Bruce, but didn't your mother ever teach you any table manners? You shouldn't talk with your mouth full. No one wants to see what your food looks like when it's all chewed up. And besides, I think you just spit something in my eye.
Sorry. Sometimes I just get excited about something and then I forget my manners. While we're on the topic, though, is there anything else I need to be aware of?
First of all, you should sit with better posture when you're eating. You shouldn't put your elbows on the dinner table, and you definitely shouldn't be all slouched over. That's just rude. Also, when you're having a meal with relatives or family friends, you should always wait for your elders to start eating first before you take anything for yourself.
Wow. Maybe I should just call you Miss Manners from now on. How did you become such an expert on this subject anyway?
I don't know if I'm an expert, but my parents were always very strict about this kind of thing when I was growing up. Weren't yours?
Hold on. I'll answer you as soon as I finish swallowing my food.
Questions 23 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 23.
What are the two speakers talking about?
Question 24.
Which statement does the woman not agree with?
Question 25.
How does the woman get to know a lot about table manners?
Section B. Directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center.
Passage 1. Heredity is not the only thing that influences our color. Where and how we live after we are born is important too. For instance, our skin color greatly depends on how much sunshine we get. Centuries ago, most people in Europe were peasants and had to work in the fields all day. On the other hand, noblemen did not have to work. They stayed indoors and remained pale. You could always tell a nobleman from a peasant because the peasant had a tan. As a result, noble women did their best to keep their skins as light as possible. A skin so pale was considered a mark of great beauty and nobleness. During the Industrial Revolution, farmers left their fields and went to work in factories, mines, and mills. Working for long hours in those dark places made their skins pale. Wealthy people, however, could afford to travel to sunny countries. They lay around on the beaches and got a tan, which became a sign of wealth. In Western Europe and North America, pale skin is no longer desirable. The desire for a quick tan has led to the invention of pills that darken the skin without exposure to sunlight. So there are three answers to the question, where does our color come from? It comes from the genes we inherit, it comes from the conditions in which we live, and it can come from a bottle that we buy at the drugstore on the corner.
Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 26. Why did noble women in Europe do their best to keep their color as light as possible?
Question 27. Who were the people having a tan, according to the passage?
Question 28. What does the passage mainly tell us? Passage 2. More and more Americans are visiting Italy, not to see the sights of ancient Rome, but to taste the delights of the rest of the country, according to a new survey. Not only are long waits under the hot summer sun to get into sights such as the Colosseum turning visitors away, but the attractions of good wine, pasta, and cheese are drawing people to other, lesser-known destinations. A little over a quarter of those surveyed said they were choosing alternative locations because they want to know Italian cooking better. Another 21% said it was much more relaxing to be in the countryside, eating wholesome Italian food, after leaving stressful jobs and unhealthy diets in the United States, and 17% said they were following in the footsteps of their Hollywood heroes. For years, Hollywood stars have enjoyed low-key vacations at quiet but luxurious villas in rural Italy, and it appears the trend is rubbing off on Americans. Americans are realizing that the Mediterranean diet is the best way to stay in shape, and courses in Italian cooking are better for handling stress than visiting a psychologist, a statement accompanying the survey said.
Questions 29 to 32 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 29. What do more and more Americans go to Italy for?
Question 30. Which is not the reason for people choosing lesser-known destinations?
Question 31. What's the advantage of a Mediterranean diet, as mentioned in the passage?
Question 32. What is the passage mainly discussing?
Passage 3.
A new survey finds Moscow is the most expensive city to live in for the third year in a row. It has the rubles strengthened against other currencies. Tokyo, it moved up 2 spots to 2nd place. That pushed London down to 3rd place, and Oslo jumped 6 spots to 4th. Seoul, South Korea, rounded up the top 5. Now the top 10 European and Asian cities actually led the pack. The latest annual survey by research firm Mercer measures the cost of living for expatriates in 143 cities in countries on 6 continents. The trend this year shows the gap between the most expensive cities in the world and the least expensive actually appears to be widening. As far as American cities on the list, New York is still the most costly city in the United States, but it comes in at number 22 on the global list. Los Angeles clocks in at number 55, Miami, number 75, while Washington, D.C. fell a whopping 22 places to 107. The soft U.S. dollar led to an overall drop in the cost of living in 19 American cities compared to other major cities around the globe. For the 6th year in a row, Asunción, Paraguay, is the cheapest city to live in.
Questions 33 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 33.
According to the passage, which of the following is the correct ranking of cities in the cost of living?
Question 34.
What does the research done by firm Mercer indicate?
Question 35.
Why did the cost of living in 19 American cities fall behind other major cities in the world?
Section C. Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage three times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks numbered from 36 to 43 with the exact words you have just heard. For blanks numbered from 44 to 46, you are required to fill in the missing information. For these blanks, you can either use the exact words you have just heard or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written. Now, listen to the passage.
Your success depends upon understanding the changing nature of jobs and careers. Be aware of trends, both local and global. Big companies are getting smaller. They are downsizing and delivering, thereby reducing the number of promotions potentially available. It is anticipated that many emerging careers will generate fewer new positions than in the past. Fields experiencing major growth will demand job applicants with specific academic majors and work experience. Some academic programs will have limited options for employment. For those graduates, it may be necessary to get additional preparation through special courses or a second degree. In addition to whatever academic background they specify, employers say they are looking for a person who is an independent decision-maker and self-managed learner, with a positive work attitude, a well-rounded education with math, computer literacy, communication skills including good use of words and grammar, interpersonal and time management skills, flexibility and dependability. Employers seem to be more interested in what you have done with your talents than on what talents you possess. Your resume, then, is a testimony to "I have accomplished" rather than "I am." Whether you are self-employed or an employee, acting in a more enterprising way will give you a competitive edge. To get fewer rejections and better results, enter the job market with marketable skills. Follow a customer-driven approach. You will need to make sales presentations about yourself to potential buyers, possibly from all over the world. It's hard to sell a product or service if you are not confident in it and cannot see the value to the purchaser. Therefore, believe in yourself and show the benefits you offer. Polish your presentations and deliver them enthusiastically to the right market.
Now the passage will be read again.
Your success depends upon understanding the changing nature of jobs and careers. Be aware of trends, both local and global. Big companies are getting smaller. They are downsizing and delivering, thereby reducing the number of promotions potentially available. It is anticipated that many emerging careers will generate fewer new positions than in the past. Fields experiencing major growth will demand job applicants with specific academic majors and work experience. Some academic programs will have limited options for employment. For those graduates, it may be necessary to get additional preparation through special courses or a second degree. In addition to whatever academic background they specify, employers say they are looking for a person who is an independent decision-maker and self-managed learner, with a positive work attitude, a well-rounded education with math, computer literacy, communication skills including good use of words and grammar, interpersonal and time management skills, flexibility and dependability. Employers seem to be more interested in what you have done with your talents than on what talents you possess. Your resume, then, is a testimony to I have accomplished rather than I am. Whether you are self-employed or an employee, acting in a more enterprising way will give you a competitive edge.